This week, Chosan El is the yahrzeit of the first Belzer Rebbe, the Sar Shalom from Belz. Tom Mubok of the Chosan from Lublin, and the great dynasty of Belz, which is still today. His son, Rabbi Shula, and Rabbi Sachadoy, and Arla Belzer, and the current Belzer Rebbe. There's a kapeda, actually, to refer to the Sar Shalom from Belz as the first Belzer Rebbe. And he himself was makbid on this, because the very first Rebbe in Belz was the Bach, Bais Chadash. And the Belzer Rav used to say, when they referred to as the first Belzer Rav, they said, what, the Bach wasn't a Rebbe? He wasn't a Rebbe? Of course he was a Rebbe, and especially Talmid Baal Shem, they had a very special respect for the Bach. A certain story happened with the Bach, and the Baal Shem Tov himself spoke about the Bach. Anyways, many stories about the Sar Shalom. Tonight we're especially short on time. We'll see how many we can get through. Once one of his first interactions with the Chayza, so the Chayza was sitting amongst his Talmidim, and he made a comment and he said, "There amongst us, there's sitting an Avrech, a young person, who his Anava is like that of Moshe Rabbeinu." So the Talmidim were all, murmuring, who is that? Who is the Rebbe speaking about? So he heard them conversing, and he said, he wasn't talking about you or you. He was talking about me. So the Sar Shalom said, I said, you're such an honor, like Moshe Rabbeinu, you talk about yourself like that? So he said back, did Moshe Rabbeinu not write in the Torah himself? He's honor Mikol Adam. His son, as we said, was a Rabbi Shula, and his grandson, Rabbi Sachadoy. And Rabbi Sachadoy was able to meet his grandfather for some time before his Ptira. And he used to say that when I was 3 years old, when I was 3 years old, my grandfather, my Zayda, he asked that I should come into his private room. And I sat on his lap, and he told me certain things. And I forgot immediately afterwards what he had told me. When I left the room, my father asked me, "Sunu, what did my father tell you? What did my father tell you?" He said, "Tatya, I don't know." And he would ask me, and I would say, "Tatya, I don't know. I don't know what he said." So many years went by, and his father, Rabbi Shula, passed away, and Rabbi Sachedov became Rabbi. So Rabbi Sachedov, a chassid came and he gave him a kfitl. And he said, as soon as he gave him a kfitl, he remembered everything his grandfather told him. And he saw the Ruach HaKodesh of his grandfather, that he told him things as a youngster, 3 years old on his lap, because he saw that he would be a Rebbe, and he would need to know these things as a Rebbe. So as soon as he needed it, it went off. And that's when it was Neskalatim, what his grandfather said. Speaking about his Anava, Rosh Hashanah Dikamaisa here. So once during the Hafsaka, they took a break, for Tkiyas, and many go to the mikveh at that time, but usually don't go straight into Tkiyas. Some make Kiddush, others are makbe not to make Kiddush. Anyways, he was passing by a Beis Medrash, he would go for a stroll, and he was listening to the Tkiyas as he passed by the Beis Medrash, and he stopped, and he was listening very carefully with his ear to Kedusha. And he heard, and he said, he made a comment, "Wow, these tkiyas, mamash, b'kiyah, b'kiyah, they're opening up all the heavens," and he was watching it go up, and he was so mespoil. And he says, "It must be the gevaldige tzibur, which is davening here." So when Rabbi Sachedov, when he would tell over this story, he would say, "See the anivus of my Zayda?" He thought that it was the tzibur which was causing that to happen. It was only because he was walking by the Beis Medrash that was happening. But it is anava, he wasn't even marangish that it was because of him. The Birchas Avram from Slanin, he used to tell this over to Bar Mitzvah Bachram, who would come and have Hanachas Tefillin, the following story about the Belzer Rav. Many tzaddikim, they have prepared for this occasion of Hanachas Tefillin, like a story about a tzaddik, like the stories about the Rav Shitzer, when he went Hanachas Tefillin for the Zachi for Magid, and there's a story of the Orcham HaKadosh with the Tefillin, I think we spoke about when we spoke about the Orcham HaKadosh. Anyways, so the Birchas Avram used to tell over the following story. there was a Yid that he became a bar mitzvah, and he came to the Sar Shalom from Belz. And he put on the tefillin, and the Rebbe said to him, I'm going to give you a tip. As long as you're wearing your tefillin, you shouldn't speak any sichas chulin. No regular chatter. Just only words of kedusha and tefillah. And he took this very seriously. And for many years, he practiced this, and he was very makbid, and he didn't say any words of chulin. Until he came to his chasana, came back to the Rebbe, and he's going to get a talis from his kala. So he said to the Rebbe, no, you wear my hanachas tefillin, so how am I going to wear a talis? He said, Avrich, whenever you're wearing a talis, no sichas chulin while you're wearing a talis. Many years went by, so Shalom passed away, his chasana became an old man, and he passed away. And of course, Belz was in Chutz Laaretz, is in Chutz Laaretz, and he was being taken care of by the Chevek Kedisha, and he was being wrapped in his talis. And he came up to the Beis in Shamala, and they said to him, no, you did this, and you did this, and you did this, so what do you have to say for yourself? He says, well, I'm wrapped in my talis, I don't talk Sichas Chulin in talis. And because of that, he went straight to the Gan Eden. That was a real chakoydus for the Sar Shalom from Belz, as from a baby, from the time that he was wearing tefillin. He saw already that he was, through this, he was going to get to the Gan Eden. That's a good question.
It's a good story, by the way.
He used to say, you know, even in those days, the weathermen weren't always right. Not a current issue. But he said pshat. He says, really, they're very good. They're experts in determining and understanding the weather patterns, winds, different seasons, and other simanim. He says, one thing that they don't know, and this is where they go wrong. When there's a yingle who's on his way to cheder, and it's really cold outside, and he says, Tata in Himmel, I'm very cold right now. Can you please make it warmer? And then the weather changes, that no weather forecast can predict. So that's what he used to say. The Belz Rebbe tells over that once my Zayda, he was, until his older years, he became somewhat blind. And every Erev Shabbos, he would be Mavir Seja, he would do Shnamek Abecha Targum, from a Sefer Torah, wearing his tefillin of Rabbi Natan. V'hoya Hayoyim, that it was an Erev Shabbos, and he was blind, and he put on the wrong tefillin. He wore his Rabbeinu Tam tefillin for Shachris, and then he put on his Rashi tefillin for being Maver Sejan. And for a tzaddik like that to make a mistake is like, you know, the world will turn over if that would happen. So after he took off his Rashi tefillin after being Maver Sejan, everybody was afraid to tell him about it. They took it off and they said, Rebbe, you know, you couldn't see, but you put on the wrong tefillin. So he said, oh, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem. He says, I must tell you, I keep getting these dreams. The Rashi's coming to me and he's saying to me, when are you going to be Maver Seder with my tefillin? And Rabbeinu Tam is coming to me and saying, when are you going to make a bracha on me? So it happened today that he made a bracha on Rabbeinu Tam and he was Maver Seder with Rashi, so everything was good. There's a certain yid. You should know, whenever I say there's a certain yid, everything in these stories is documented for the most part. It tells you who it was from, who the people's names are, you know, who told me Shmipi'ish, how old they were, all the details. I skip all that because I get straight to the story.
You.
Okay, good. I'm just letting you know that there's more than what I say is in the stories. It's in the stories. Certain chassid that his son was having certain issues in Avodas Hashem. One thing led to the next, and he ended up with a goya, with a shiksa. And this chassid, the father, was so embarrassed, he wouldn't leave his house, and he came running to the Yismach Moshe, and he said, I need a Yeshua. I need a Yeshua for my son, for myself, for my mishpacha, I don't know what to do. So he says, I can't help you. Only the Sar Shalom can help you. So he says, go with your son to the Sar Shalom, and I'll help you. So the father, he pleads with the son, and he says, please, just come. He says, I have no interest in going to a rabbi. He says, no, please, just come. And this will be the last you hear from me about it. So he agrees. So he goes. He shows up to Sar Shalom's house. And he hears about what's going on. And he says, you did such a thing? You do such a thing? And he says, yeah. He says, rabbi, and I don't care. So he says, would you maybe even have a picture of this girl? Do you have a picture of her? That's what the Sfarim Shalom says.
Big mistake.
He says, yes, I do. He says, can I see it for a moment? So he takes the picture. He takes the picture. And he says, he looks at it, he goes, peh, peh. This is what you want to have a shaykhis with? That's what he said. That's all that he said. So he gave back the picture and he says, Gazantahe, go. So he comes back and he goes, he's looking for his girlfriend, I guess they call it. And he sees her and she's covered in saras from head to toe. After that, peh, peh. He says, ugh, disgusting. And wanted nothing to do with her anymore. And the shidduch was broken up. Peh, peh. The Neroda Rabbi, Zecher Tzadik Kodesh Livracha, he told her this story, which he had a Kabbalah from his Zayda. That once the Kamaka Rav, who was a Talmud of the Sar Shalom from Belz, after with the Ptir of the Rav Shitzer, Shalom Kamaker became a Chassid of the Sar Shalom from Belz. And before this Tish, which was taking place, so the Memshala, the Polish government, they came and they took away all of the Sfarim because they had to censor everything. And in the Beis Medrash, they were left with no Sfarim. So the Sar Shalom, he came for Shal Shudis and he said, I know I don't have any Sfarim, but you know, I'll say Torah. Anyways, after the Torah, he said Torah. And afterwards, he whispered something to the Kamak Rav. And the Neroda Rebbe said, I didn't hear anything except these last words I heard him say. This is what he whispered. He said, to see Eretz Yisrael as it is built already, and Yerushalayim Yer HaKodesh built, and how we go, and the Beis HaMikdash built, and how we are already going to Eretz Yisrael to be a Makabel Pnei Mashiach Tzidkenu, to see that now, that's not a big Madriga. Anybody could have that Madriga. And Baruch Hashem, we see, he said, we see this. We see us going to Eretz Yisrael. We see us going to the Beis HaMikdash, Yerushalayim Yer HaKodesh, being led by the tzaddik of the generation to see Mashiach to King. That's what he said. That's what I heard him say. And the Kamak Rav, at one point, he had a stroke. And there's a maisa with that, I'll tell you in a moment. And Rabbi Shulah came to visit him. And he wanted to hear over that story which his father had told, the Sar Shalom had told him. So Rabbi Shula said, I'm going to tell you something that I was never able to say. Because one time my father told me, I'm going to tell you something, but don't repeat it. But the second time he told me before he passed away, he didn't say not to repeat it. So I'm going to tell you something I never told you before. That which my father told you, that he said, I see Yerushalayim, I see Eretz Yisrael, I see the Beis HaMikdash, and we're following the Gadol Hador, and to go see Mashiach Tzidkenu, he told me the Gadol Hador. Gadol Hador is with Mordechai Menashchiz. That was who we were referring to. Mordechai Menashchiz. He's the tzaddik of the generation.
Testing 1/5.
Now there's something which is very famous today in Belz is the Beis Medrash in Belz. You know, it costs $100 million to build. And it's very special in that binyan. And Belz, which we all see, which is the Shemuel Tiferes, is supposed to be a replica, a much grander replica, of the Beis Medrash that the Sar Shalom built in Belz. Now, the reason why that binyan in Belz is so special, and why they want it to be replicated, is because the Sar Shalom had very, very special kavanas in building that binyan. Different stories, different accounts. We're just going with Yossi a moment ago. One nusach is that he had a special manuscript, and it may be that the stories are not austere with each other, but he had a manuscript where he would follow this manuscript. Apparently it was like Min HaShemayim or some type of ancient sefer which he saw, that every part of the Beis Medrash which was built in according to this plan. And at one point it got lost, and he paused the whole construction until it was found again, then it continued. Another ma'isa. Based on the construction of the Sar Shalom's building that he put together in Belz. The other nusach of the story is that there was a Kabbalah that that if a person would learn all night for 1,000 nights straight, if you say it, Gili Elio. You know the story?
I think so.
It's just like, I'm in.
No.
I remember this.
So for 1,000 nights, it'd be Zeichet Gili Eliyahu. So there were 3 Chaverim who wanted to try it, and the first one teetered out after 300 nights, and the other one, the second Chaver, went, and he was very, very close, but he couldn't make it, and the Sar Shalom says he was gonna make it through. And it came to the last night, and it was a big mania from the Sitracha to make it, that he shouldn't make it through the night, but he put all of his kaychas into it, and then what happened, Yossi? He came to Aron Kodesh?
Yeah, there was a storm, the windows broke, and he came to Aron Kodesh, and he davened, you know,
that he should be saved, and that he'd make it through, and then Kachava and Eliyahu Navi came, and he taught him all the kavanas of building this shul. That's what he taught him. So, regarding this shul, so once, there was a great tzaddik, Reb Shimon Miyaroslav, that in his later years, after the Patira of, he was an alter yid, he lived to be like 100 years old, and although he tried to run away from being a Rebbe, he was a Talmud from Naim Elimelech, and the Chayza, with the passing of those Rebbes, he became a Talmud of the Sar Shalom, even though he was much more senior than the Sar Shalom. He was Machni himself, he was a Talmud his whole life. He once came to the Sar Shalom, and he was going through the shul, and he was walking with his kin, and he was going to each place, and he was saying, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Every place he looked at, you know, he was giving like his askama. And so he came to one place, and he went with his staff, and he says, no, what's with this? What's with this? So he says, so the Sar Shalom looked at him, and he says, I wasn't here when that was built. I wasn't around. I don't know what happened there, but I wasn't around. But he was able to be margish with his Ruach HaKodesh, that, you know, this was the way that it was supposed to be, and Zmamash Mechuvin connected, you know, the Mikdash Shamala. So the Rav Mordechai from Balajoya, who was also a great-grandson of the Sar Shalom from Belz, he was the brother of Arla. So he told the Liver the following story. He says, I have a Kabbalah because I got in a mail from a certain Yid who lived in Lemberg, and he wrote to me that at the end of the war, in Belz, when everything was destroyed, including the Beis Medrash, there was an Alta Yid, a Zaken, who was seen by the rubble. And he was walking through it, and he was crying by the Beis Knesses, crying, crying, crying. And the Rebbe of Religioira said, he says, Bevade, Bevade, that was my Zayda, the Sar Shalom, who was crying over the destruction of, came back to cry over the destruction of the Beis Knesses, which he built with his bare hands, with every kavana possible. Now, it's not really shaykh to speak about the Sar Shalom from Belz without mentioning his Rebbetzin. One of the most famous Rebbetzins in Chassidish Welt throughout all the generations was the Rebbetzin, Malka, the wife of the Sar Shalom from Belz. She, my Rebbe says that she was with him in all of his madrigas, all the madrigas of the Sar Shalom the Rebbetzin Malka had. I'll tell you a few stories about Rebbetzin Malka. Where was that?
Dun, 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 dun.
I guess it's in this one. Hold on. Oh, yeah. So the Tzanzarov, they once went to the Sar Shalom from Belz with his children. And when they came, they saw that the Sar Shalom was eating off the same plate with his rabbits and Malka. Now, by the Rebbes, that was like pasnish. That was not done. I mean, the levels of kedusha which the tzaddikim are knowing with the rebbetzins is ein l'shaiv, ein l'tar. Not the time to talk about that, but if that was like mamish, you know, never to be seen. So when they left, so the tzanzarev asked his children. He says, "Sanu, what did you see? What did you see?" So the Garo L'Tzarev, who we spoke about, who was the Bechor of the Divrei Chaim, he says, "I saw Adam and Chava koydem achet." That's what it was. That's what the tzaddikim said about them. They were like, Adam and Chava koydem achet. So once, you know, we had said that the Divrei Chaim was also, before he became a Talmud of the Sar Shalom, Shalom Kamaker became a Talmud of the Sar Shalom. He was a Talmud in Rafshitz, as was the Divrei Chaim. The only difference is that with the Ptira of the Rafshitzer, the Divrei Chaim did not become a Talmud of the Sar Shalom. He remained the faithful Talmud of the Rafshitzer. But the Kalmaka Rav became a Talmud of the Sar Shalom. So anyways, they spent a lot of time in Rafshitz. The Sar Shalom I mean, the Rav Shalom Kamaka and the Divrei Chaim. And once they found themselves, you know, in Belz, and the Sar Shalom said to them, I'm going to tell you a kavana, a special kavana about Yetzias Neshama, how you die, so the kavana to have, but I need you to prepare yourself for 3 days before I can tell you. So they went and they prepared themselves, they fasted and they were anointed with tremendous kedusha and tahara, and then after the 3 days, Sar Shalom took them into his private room and he gave them over the kavana. So Rebbe gave over that kavana of how a yid should pass, the kavanas to have. So the Rebbe Tzimalka came over to them afterwards and she said, so Nu, did you get secrets like that in Rafshitz? Did they teach you secrets like that in Rafshitz? So she knew she was holding in all the madrigas. So she said, do you get secrets like that? So the Divrei Chaim, the Kamak Rebbe says, secrets like that? He says that we were once in Rafshitz and we were working in the kitchen and we were peeling potatoes. And the Rafshitz are on an Arab Shabbos. That's what he made them peel potatoes. So the Rafshitz was walking through the kitchen, and he passed by as we were peeling potatoes, and he leaned over and he told us that kavana as he was walking through the kitchen, and then he went by. Same kavana as your husband told us. It took 3 days to tell over. He told us as we were peeling potatoes as he passed through in the kitchen. That's what he said. Secrets. Madrigas of the Rafshitz. Secrets of the Rafshitz. Once the Belzerov, when he would come home on Friday night from davening, he would always go to the Rebbetzin first and wish her a good Shabbos, a good Shabbos. And with her p'tira, he would still go into the room where she used to sit, and he would say, good Shabbos, good Shabbos. So once his son came with him, Rabbi Shula, and he was with his father, and he went into the room, and he said, into the room, the empty room, and he says, good Shabbos. And he heard his mother say back, good Shabbos. So he was like all scared about that. So he says, Yeshula, why are you so nervous? He says, I heard Nima's talking to me. Am I like hearing things? He says, no. He says, don't worry, everything's fine. He says, she asked permission from the Malachim to come to hear Kiddush every Friday night. And she was given permission for that. So I come and I wish her good Shabbos because I know she's here for Kiddush and she wishes me good Shabbos back.
Wow.
Yeah. I mentioned that the Kamakarov, he had a stroke, and because of that he was paralyzed, and he was he came to the Sar Shalom from Shabbos, and the Sar Shalom says that he had an Eitzah for him, and he called him up for an Aliyah in Parshas Yisrael, and the Sar Shalom was the Baal Kare. And he ended the Aliyah, which of the pasuk where it says V'yachalta Amoid, right? It says a lashon like that in the parsha, V'yachalta Amoid, a lashon like that. And the Kamakarov was there, and as soon as it left the words of the mouth of the Belzerov, those words from the pasuk, V'yachalta Amoid, and you'll be able. Yisro gives an eitzah to Moshe Rabbeinu, right? And he says that if you do this eitzah of appointing the judges, you'll be able to stand. So he ended the aliyah there, even though that's not the end of the aliyah, and as soon as he left his words, you'll be able to stand, the Kamak Rav had a refuah. Just like that. From the holy words that left his mouth, he'll be able to stand from the Kriya Satayra. The Chassidim said that he didn't mamash have a refuah. He was still a little shvach. But he was like a different person from when he heard those words. Many pleas by the Belzerov. For example, one person came to the Belzerov, he was sick, and he was on two crutches. And he was complaining that he can't walk and he can't move without these crutches. So the Belzerov said, it must be that you're not erlichin, you're Shemona Esrei, that you're having these issues with your leg. And he started to look at him from top to bottom like this. He was looking at him like with the x-ray eyes up and down. And he says as soon as he did that, he had a refuah on the spot. He took the canes, they took these canes, And he broke them on his knees. That's what it says. It broke them on his knees, one after the other. And they took them, and they used them for the firewood to cook the dogim for Shabbos Kodesh in the house of the Belzerov. That's what they said. That's what they used it for. Running out of time. I'll just share with you one last story. There's very beautiful stories, as you see, but there's more beautiful stories. But once the Rav Shitzur Rav, I heard this from my Rebbe, was spending Shabbos in the city of Rava, which is near Belz. And the children of the Belz Rav wanted to spend Shabbos in with the Rav Shitzur. So they asked permission, and this permission was granted, and they spent Shabbos in Rav Shitz. And after Shabbos, the Rav Shitzur Rav says, tell your father that if he wants to come here for Shabbos next week, I'll spend another Shabbos in Rava. That's what he said. So they went and they told their father, and they very much wanted the Sar Shalom to come, and he agreed. He agreed to come. What happened was that the Sar Shalom took a huge oilam. Who wouldn't want to be there for the Sar Shalom? So a huge oilam came from Belz to Rafshitz, and a makom was designated for them to daven, but it wasn't enough to hold the oilam. And anyway, so the Sar Shalom was davening together with the Rafshitzer for Friday night, and the Rafshitzer started having his Rafshitzer inyan with the holy man. So he whispered over to the Belz Rav and he says, go with your Eilam to a different room. But the Belz Rav, the Sar Shalom, made it as if he didn't hear anything. He pretended as if he didn't hear. So the Rav Shitzur, a short while later, he whispered again to them and he says, Shalom. He says, it's getting so hot because of the people here that the camels are going to go out because of the heat. And once again, the Belz Rav made it as if he didn't hear anything. So what happened was that he stayed and he didn't listen and he stayed. So he says afterwards the Sar Shalom said this. He says, what's going on? What happened was as follows. He says that the Medrash says, the Tzad of Elio, that La'asalav when Mashiach comes, Mashiach's going to make a drasha. And after the drasha, Zerubbabel is going to make a Kaddish. And he's going to say Kaddish after that drasha. And that Kaddish is going to be something which is going to be an unbelievable inyan. Mashiach will say Torah, and Zerubbabel will say Kaddish, and that's going to be a spectacle. He says the Rav Shitzur Rav, he's such a chacham. He knows all of the kavanas of this kaddish of Zerubbabel, and he doesn't want me to be here when he says that kaddish, the kaddish of Friday night davening before kegavna. He knows he does the kavanas, and he doesn't want me to be here. And I know he was trying to get me to leave, but I wasn't going to leave and to be mavater on hearing the kaddish of Rav Shitzur Rav. So I made myself like I didn't hear, because I wanted to be present for the kaddish. There's the Rubova's Kaddish of the dolls of the Rav Shitzur Rav. That's what he said. But you see what's going on with Shin and Tzadikah. After Shabbos, they got together and they took a walk for 3 hours. And they didn't tell anybody what they were talking about. The only thing that the Belz Rav, that the children of the Belz Rav said afterwards that they spoke about was this. How can we put on tefillin properly in this generation? That's what the Sichas Kodesh was. Whatever that means, how can we put on tefillin? How can the door put on tefillin? That was their Sichas Kodesh. But whatever that means, who knows? But anyways, this is the Sashalom. We'll see you again later.